Well, joining me now with a closer look at the kind of action that played out on the equity scene is Caroline Kremen from AdviceWorks. Caroline, thanks so much for joining us today. So what a day it's been. We all waited with bated breath for the 2 p.m. media address. And then we had a very quick deflating of those expectations with nothing really emerging, a very vague media address being being given by the ANC today.
You know, I think we really should expect it. This is usually how things go, but I think every time something happens, we hope that, you know, history isn't going to repeat itself again and again and again, and yet it does.
Well, amidst it all, it's interesting to see. Yes, we had, you know, the Rand weakened slightly, and that not entirely unexpected. Still holding below the 12 to the dollar mark, though, but markets rallying quite strongly.
Look, I think the Rand was also helped against the dollar because of dollar weakness as well. So I think today, apart from the currency markets and the bond markets, our local equity exchange was really taking the lead from offshore markets, in particular the commodity markets. Platinum shares are very strong, gold shares are very strong. On the higher, better commodity prices. You saw a bit of a pickup in some of the retailers as well. Naspers is up, big component of the industrial index. So we're kind of still in a bit of a holding pattern there as well.
Yeah, let's drill into the resources front, because as you say, bulk of the impetus coming through from that front today. We had the index up 2.3% by the close, and quite a few companies within that complex out with announcements today. Kumba out with its full year numbers, and we had the CEO Themba Mkhwanazi calling the results a royal flush. Is that how, okay, so clearly that's not how you felt about
it. I think on the surface of it, they look okay. You know, I think that there were some positives there. Production is up, but it's off a low base. You know, commodity prices did work in their favor. I think the production is still subpar. It was probably a bit of a miss of expectations. I think the best positive for me is that there's a market improving operating cash flow. Which is great. The life of Sishen and Colomela increased by 4 years, but still relatively uninspiring.
Uninspiring. What do you make then of this talk about an evolution from a stay-in-business strategy that they've had for the past 2 years to a step-out strategy looking to replace diminishing reserves at its Sishen mine and, of course, becoming a lot more opportunistically acquisitive down the road?
They're going to have to do that, you know, because if you extend the life of your mine by 4 years, it's only 4 years. And, you know, if you want to actually value a company, you want to see it's going to have sustainable cash flows going forward. So they really do need a little bit more, not aggressive in acquisitions, but aggressive in looking at potential additions to their stable.
Harmony, on the flip side, were you more so encouraged by those numbers? The market seemed to like what was put on the table. Its shares closing close enough to 4% higher.
Look, I think it was on target to what they promised, and that's always a good thing, especially if you're a a gold producer or a platinum producer in South Africa. It always makes me happy to see that we are we're on target to what we've promised. Headline earnings up 49%, production up 6%, cost down 2%. And so it's starting to look like it's stabilizing. I think these poor miners have had kind of a rough period. I think what was also mentioned in there was that there was a mining rights issue, which has now been sorted out as well. And it's just something that you actually saw in a lot of companies' news. A lot of these, not only mineral rights, but waste disposal rights and things. You're seeing a lot of announcements where these things that were in dispute, either with the ministries or in fact with the courts, are actually being settled. Now, I don't know if it's just a fluke or if it's a sign of the times that we are really getting a bit more business friendly, and that could be very positive.
Do you think that we see companies risking becoming overly exuberant in the current climate? Because, you know, we've had the likes of an Exxaro, for example, talking about a special dividend being on the cards, or is that very much warranted?
That is very much warranted. You know, Exxaro sold Tronox. We were hoping that we'd get a special dividend, 12.55. It's very, very attractive. I think the long-suffering Exxaro shareholders are delighted about it. There may be more in the pipeline, potentially if they sell the balance of the business. So we'll wait and see there. I think the sale of that business unit from Exxaro does make it a much more focused entity, and they'll be able to concentrate really on what they do best. So I think the announcement from Exxaro and certainly the trail that they've been on recently fills me with a lot more hope than Akumba.
Well, certainly that the biggest lesson of the tough times, right? And this focus on becoming leaner, meaner operating machines. On the flip side, you've got a company like Comair reporting revenue up 5.5%, after-tax profit rising 2.2%, looking good enough, I guess, in the current environment, given the fact that they're still sitting with surplus capacity. But cutting back on its dividend.
Look, come here. I mean, with SAA, take note. It has a positive operating cash flow. It has 770.
So it is possible.
It is possible to run an airline and be profitable. 777 million rand on your balance sheet. Just remember, these are Comair is really an industry that's going to go as your economy goes. So if we have better economic growth, better GDP growth, I think it could be Comair's year. I think there's a couple of other factors in their favour. They obviously lease in dollars with the strong rand. That certainly helps them. They're doing very nicely. They have nearly a 12% growth in their non-air flight businesses. And then that the fact that they've got overcapacity. Now, that surprises me because I've flown in their flights. I've never seen an empty seat. But, they can pick up that capacity if we have increased tourist numbers or increased business travels, really buoyed by better consumer confidence.
Absolutely.
So it could very well be their year. And then they've got their settlement with SAA, which SAA is disputing, going to court in February. If the court rules against SAA, there might be a very nice cash
billion
if they can get the cash if they get the cash out of SAA.
Well, so it might be speaking to Eric Fenter a little earlier today, and he said they're not counting their chickens before they hatch, but yes, crossing fingers. Yes. In the meantime, what's your stock pick, Caroline?
Well, it's not a stock, and it's not listed. It's it's an exchange-traded fund, which is listing on Monday, and it is the CoreShares Global Dividends Aristocrats. What CoreShares have actually done is they've taken a basket of dividend indices across the globe. It's about 200-odd companies in this, 50% in the US, 25% in Europe, 22% in the Far East. And really what they do is they look for companies with their filters that pay consistent growing dividends. So you're looking at companies like Coca-Cola, L'Oreal, Mitsubishi in there. Now, there's a couple of things that really work in people's favor. Is that, first of all, that is not listed as an IPO, which is ending on Thursday. Uh-huh. So you can acquire that without paying brokerage. Number two is that the rand is strong at the moment, relatively strong. Offshore markets are weak, so it's actually quite a nice time to step in. And really, I also do see increased volatility going forward in the markets, and dividend paying companies are always a good place to hide.
Okay, so that one to watch. Let's leave it there, Caroline. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Caroline Kremen is with AdviceWorks. Well, Harmony Gold has reported a strong operational performance for the first half. It's announced a 49% jump in headline earnings per share, a 6% lift in production in South Africa, and a 2% decline in costs across the group. Bronwyn caught up with CEO Peter Steenkamp for more on the numbers and the miner meeting its production guidance.
We're on track for that. We had a very satisfying first 6 months and believe that obviously the trend will continue. We obviously also in the last 6 months had quite a lot of activity in terms of our Hidden Valley project that we brought into production. And then secondly also the acquisition of Moab Katsong, which will actually be reflected now in numbers going forward.
Harmony usually thrives on a weak rand traditionally, but we've had the local currency improving 17.5%. over the past few months. This must give you pause, because the effect is that we had the rand gold price falling back 14.5% over the same period. How do you plan to manage this going forward? Because it seems that rand strength is going to continue.
Yes, and I think we prepared for that. The first thing that we've done is that we in actual fact did this two acquisitions and actually brought these two mines in place. That will give us, improve our cost base quite a lot. So that certainly brings us down the cost curve, and that will give us some flexibility to go forward. We obviously need to adjust to the rand gold price. We still have another 6 months of very good hedges and further hedges going forward that will take us forward. We will still see these high prices going in the next, in the foreseeable future. But we're certainly going into a planning process now where we need to take the new reality into account.
That planning process, how much room do you have to revisit your hedging strategy? Because you briefly mentioned it there, but currently you're receiving an above spot rand gold price, but that will likely diminish as you go on. You're looking at 520,000 rand a kilogram of gold by the first half of 2019.
And that is what we need to adjust to. So we need to find ways in actual fact to improve our production and also to obviously look at, you know, our cutoffs and where we're going to mine going forward. We are in the process of actually developing in higher grade areas, and we've seen the, you know, continuous higher grade development going through. So we are in the process of actually increasing grade, and we've been improving our grade quite dramatically over the last few years and constantly improving that.
How much pressure does this put on margins given this low rand gold price that we're currently seeing?
No, it does. It does put on margins. We've already made quite a few adjustments to that. We stopped the reef mining at the Unicel mine. We stopped quite a lot of low grade mining in Kusasalethu and actually focusing on higher grade areas.
So currently at what rand gold price do you break even, and what are you trying to get that level to going forward?
Well, in the last 6 months, it was 500,000 rand a kilogram. It was a kind of average cost of all-in sustaining cost of Harmony. Going forward, when we have Eden Valley and also Moab Khotsong, we believe that we can bring it down to 470,000 rand a kilogram.
So a lot then hinges on the success of these projects. So let's drill down into some detail. You had to impair the Unicel mine. That casting a little bit of a shadow on your results today, but you've cut back on the scope there to improve profitability. But how vulnerable is that project?
Unicel is really at the end of its life. We've been in the last results we actually announced that we're going to mine the shaft pillar. We've been developing that shaft pillar, and we're in actual fact in the higher grade basal mining of that pillar now. What we've stopped really was all the leader reef mining because it was just too erratic and low grade to continue mining. But Unicel is not a long term mine; it's not a very big mine in our portfolio. But certainly we are. We will, at the end of this financial year, when we do the new plans, we will actually in fact be in a position where we can say precisely how long Unicel will still go.
A big mine in your portfolio there is the Moab Khotsong mine, officially transferred to you today. You've said that this mine is a game changer for you. In terms of funding the deal, will you need to go to market? Because that would be the first time you go to market in about 10 years, right?
Yes, we don't have the mine yet. We've got three of the five CPs that we met now. So the one important one is the Section 11 that we can announce today. We still have the Competition Commission approvals outstanding, and we also have then the transfer of the mine, the water directive that was given to Anglo Gold Ashanti, needed to transfer to Harmony. That's obviously, we believe, is very close because that is actually on the getting the Section 11 will actually trigger that other responses. Yes, that is a very big game changer for us, and there's certainly a mine that we would like to, you know, begin up our portfolio soon. But we will go to the market for $100 million. We're paying $300 million for the mine. So we'll go to the market for $100 million, and we will do it as soon as all CPs have been met.
Investors are also keen to know where your plans sit with Wafi-Golpu in Papua New Guinea. You are exploring a few options, partnering on your stake there, keeping it, selling it. What are you taking into consideration when you're looking at that project? And can you give us a sense of when you will be making an announcement on where you sit going forward?
Yeah, we've been, Wafi-Golpu is a fantastic ore body. It is something that is really of great value. And we would like to get the maximum value for our shareholders out of that ore body. We've been updating the feasibility study, and the big thing in the big new feasibility study is really those deep sea tailings that we bring into play. That feasibility study we will take to the different boards in March, and then be in a position where we can actually fact announce it going forward. I think that will be a big next step in the Wafi-Golpu story. Obviously, the other one still outstanding is the mining license, and you know we are. Constant discussion with the government, and we believe that they are also keen to get the mining license resolved now and actually executed now. So we would like to be in a position that all of those two things are met. Then Harmony must make a decision in terms of his participation of this project going forward. We obviously are very, very like the asset and we like the project. It's a very, very nice project to be involved in. But certainly we need to make the right decision at the time.
While you've got all of this on your plate and you're deciding about Wafi-Golpu, you have to take the regulatory environment in South Africa into account as well. Where are your confidence levels sitting at the moment, given that the mining charter could be revised and that Cyril Ramaphosa is being touted as the silver bullet for the industry?
Yeah, I must say, I mean, we got our Section 11 transfer, in a very, very short period of time. So it just shows you that the DMR was very supportive of this transaction and really went all out to help and assist us to get the transaction done. So, you know, we've always been able to work quite well in South Africa. It doesn't matter who is really in thing. We believe that we need to, you know, work with whoever comes our way. But certainly, like anybody else in South Africa, I think we're quite excited about the future.
That was Peter Steenkamp, CEO of Harmony Gold. And that's where we leave things with you for this hour. After the break, it's Rafi Review, and I'm back with your 7 o'clock news. We also unpack the financial results of the world's fourth largest iron ore producer, Kumba Iron Ore, as well as British Airways franchisee, Comair. So I'll see you then. What's your stock pick, Caroline?
Well, it's not a stock and it's not listed. It's an exchange-traded fund which is listing on Monday, and mm-hmm. it is the CoreShares Global Dividends Aristocrats. What CoreShares have actually done is they've taken a basket of dividend indices across the globe. It's about 200-odd companies in this, 50% in the US, 25% in Europe, 22% in the Far East. And really what they do is they look for companies with their filters that pay consistent growing dividends. So you're looking at companies like Coca-Cola, L'Oreal, Mitsubishi in there. Now, there's a couple of things that really work in people's favor. Is that first of all, that is not listed as an IPO, which is ending on Thursday. Uh-huh. So you can acquire that without paying brokerage. Number two is that the rand is strong at the moment, relatively strong. Offshore markets are weak, so it's actually quite a nice time to step in. And really, I also do see increased volatility going forward in the markets, and dividend paying companies are always a good place to hide.
Okay, so that one to watch. Let's leave it there, Caroline. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Caroline Kremen is with AdviceWorks.